Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I'd like you to, if you have a Bible or watch the screen, Proverbs 24 and verses 3 and 4. These are our theme verses for this series, in these three Wednesday nights leading up to Labor Day weekend. We started last week and introduced this verse to you. It's verses 3 and 4 of Proverbs 24. By wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established. And through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. I don't know if you've ever actually built a house, but he says wisdom builds houses. Wisdom that God imparts, wisdom that Jesus becomes the embodiment of. And through understanding, it's established. We gain a lot of understanding just by studying God's word and by being with one another in a community of Christ where we learn from each other and we encourage one another. And then verse 4, through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. So there are skills we learn in life that can help the house of our lives prosper and grow. So last week, Sandy and I did the session together. We actually got quite a bit of feedback just because it's unusual. We, in this setting, we speak together when we travel sometimes, but we don't very often here. And so tonight I'm solo, so it's not going to be nearly as good as last week, but I love when Sandy can share her heart. We talked about building routines in our homes, especially if you have children at home. We talked about when we had two daughters at home, how we build routines. We talked about nurturing emotional health, and we talked about growing spiritually in our home. So it was very practical. Today, as we continue our Recalibrate series, I'm going to broaden out and talk about setting priorities in general in our lives. So this goes well beyond home with children or anything like that. Next Wednesday night, we're going to sort of circle back to the children that may be involved in your lives, or the grandchildren, or the roommates you may have in your life, whatever. But especially with parenting, I'm going to have a little panel discussion next Wednesday night with two couples that have children still at home. Some are pretty young and some are a little bit older, one of the couples. And we're going to talk about how they apply some of these principles we're going to be talking tonight, especially all the things that compete for priorities in our children's lives. And you know, the public schools and the culture in general don't cooperate with the church anymore. It used to be public schools, you know, wouldn't have events on Wednesday night because youth groups met on Wednesday nights. And it used to be there wouldn't be sporting events on Sunday morning because that's church time. But now all of these things, hard to know how even our kids are to be involved and where, and all these school activities and all these church activities and all of these priorities. We've got to recalibrate those things whenever we start a fall season because they're all hitting hard again. And we're going to talk some about that next week with a couple of couples, what they're doing in their families to work through that. I want to talk a little bit about boundaries around social media and all of these things that are becoming so very important. So we're going to zoom in on family life next week again when it comes to priorities. But I'd like to talk about the big picture, how in our lives in general, wisdom is building the house of our lives, understanding is helping it to be established, and the rooms of our lives really are being filled with rare and beautiful treasures. This would be the Lord's heart for us, that life be lived in the strength and joy of the Lord, and that there be an enriching of the rooms of our life by His grace. I know there's a lot of suffering. I've been to three funerals in the last week and a half. I mean, I know we probably all already cried enough tears for one lifetime. But on the other hand, there is a beauty to walking with the Lord. And there is a power to His wisdom in our lives. And there is a grace to Jesus actually living in and through us. And that's why we keep fighting for life ordered according to His plan for our lives. And we know that's always the best plan. I'd like you to look at the word recalibrate for just a moment. It's the prefix R-E and then the word calibrate. We're entitling this series Recalibrate because this is exactly what we do when we start to wrestle with priorities. I believe that if we are not wrestling consciously with our priorities, then we're just coasting. And life may not be as fulfilling as it could be, or as God-honoring, or as fruitful as it could be. I just know there's so many things pulling at my life in a given week, and so many things pulling at your week, that if you're not fighting to keep the most important things, you're just going to start feeling like you're just dragged around. And sometimes when I'm exhausted and everyone's beating me to my calendar and I'm just sort of being dragged around by everybody else's agendas, I just don't feel fruitful, I don't feel fulfilled. And I know I'm probably not living that life that I ought to be. And so I need to recalibrate. We used to use the word calibrate a lot in engineering. When you calibrate an instrument, it literally means to make fine adjustments or to divide into marked intervals. That's to calibrate something. And so we're redividing our lives into marked intervals, and we're making fine adjustments. You may not need to make major adjustments going into this fall, but we make fine adjustments, and we divide our lives into these marked intervals that represent the priorities we need. I'd like to suggest to you that there are three life recalibrating priorities, and I'm going to put them in front of you as a question. I've lived with these questions for many, many years. I have a friend who he's got a global ministry, Randy Hurst, but I have seen him in church the last 2 weeks. Otherwise, this is his church home. He said, I listen to the podcast every week, but he is rarely here because of where his ministry takes him. He called these, he heard me speak about these probably 15 years ago. And so he calls them something like Bradford's almost impossible, but quite important principles. Bradford's almost impossible, but very important principles. I would just say they're the recalibrating choices that all of us have to make in life. The first is to put our best energies into our most important relationships. So if you're recalibrating right now, if you're making those fine adjustments, if you're trying to divide your life into some marked intervals that have a certain, they're just not out of control, they're not crazy, they have a certain semblance of order, one of the things you're going to have to wrestle with is to put your best energies into your most important relationships. And for many of us who work all day, our most important relationships are probably not our work relationships, they're our home relationships. And you drive home and you're exhausted, and yet how do you calibrate life so that your greatest energies are put into your most important relationships? And sometimes you just have to work hard at that. In the sense that you consciously say, Lord, help me to realize the most important relationships in my life not only require my best energy, but they really deserve my best energy because those are people I love deeply and my life is committed to. There are times where at the end of a long day at work, I would be driving home and of course my wife will be there. She's the most important friend I have in my life. And I know that she's going to want to hear details about my life that day. And she's going to want to know how I felt about those details. And when you're exhausted and you're a man, details and feelings like are not high on your priority list, right? And I have one word to describe most days of my life. When I go home and Sandy says, how did your day go? I have one word, fine. That to me, that's a beautiful word, by the way. It's easy to spell, four letters. Easy to say, fine. It's very nice. It feels good in your mouth, fine. And it covers all the bases. It was fine. But the people I love in my life deserve more than fine. Not that I'm obligated to give them more than fine, but they deserve more than fine. And so, how did your day go? Fine. I will still say fine. But then said, well, what happened? And so, you know, it's hard at 5 o'clock at night when you're exhausted to remember what happened at 8:30 that morning. But, you know, I start trying to go through the day and recreate what happened. And by the way, I had lunch with Bob today. Oh, Bob, you're going to talk to him about whatever. Yeah. What did he say? Well, he kind of said this. Didn't react too well. And then the other dreaded question, not just the details, but so how did that make you feel? And you know, I hadn't actually thought about that all day. To me, how I felt is relatively irrelevant to anything that happens in my day. He said, what do you, I don't know how I felt. He just said that. And we'll get on with it, you know. So I've learned to try to be that way. Sometimes I would drive home with my hands on the steering wheel. And I'm keeping my eyes open because I'm driving, but I'm watching and praying. And I'm going, saying over to myself, details and feelings, details and feelings. Jesus, help me, details and feelings. Why? Because I have to do that. Because Sandy will score me down if I don't do it. In fact, a couple years ago, I asked her, how am I doing on details and feelings? And she said, "Yeah." So I'm still working on it. But I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I love her. And I want her life to feel a part of mine, and I want my life to be a part of hers. And I want to listen to her details and her feelings as well. Except when you're exhausted, it's harder to do that. But it's not an excuse not to do that. It's amazing. You can summon up the energy for what you want to do. And it also means I have to pace my life. I do believe in sleeping. A lot of people live with sleep deprivation. But when you're exhausted constantly and you're not dealing with the rest issues in your life, when you're exhausted constantly, it becomes very difficult to maintain your primary relationships. You're just sort of on maintenance mode, just sort of just get by another week, and our marriages become uninteresting. We can get bored with each other. Our kids aren't getting us attention. I remember a time when I was feeling pretty overwhelmed. I was pastoring in Southern California. Our girls were at home. And I just found myself, I'd be so focused on the church and so focused on work. And for a while, I stepped into huge shoes there. I followed Dr. Wood after he had pastored that church for 17 years. My first year there was like the most stressful year of my life, and we lost 10% of the people in the church, and I was trying to make major decisions, and I was thinking about, I was pastoring a church way larger. I was having volumes of things come at me in a given day that I normally didn't have come at me. In a smaller church, I came from a university church, a smaller university church in Minneapolis at the University of Minnesota where I graduated from. And we might have peaked out at 350 people, and I was one of the oldest people. I was 35 when I went to Southern Cal, followed Dr. Wood to a church that probably total had about 2,000 people in it. And it was just the most stressful thing I ever did in my life. And Sandy still, once in a while, reminisces on how I'd come home. My word was I'd come home like a wet dish rag. And I had nothing left inside. And I realized my family suffered for a while. And you know, I think they understand that sometimes we have seasons like that. But when those seasons start turning into years, we're in trouble. At some point, your most important relationships need your best energy. And you just got to figure out how to make that happen. Otherwise, you shouldn't have got married and you shouldn't have had kids. Either they're the most important thing in your life or something's wrong. And you got to find the best energies you have for that. And so even though it meant some days I came home dog tired, and you know, Sandy can read that in me, and she's more than gracious with me with those kinds of things. And she can kind of tell if I want to do the details and feelings thing or not, or just wait a bit. But my responsibility is to say, My family deserves the best I have. My best friends deserve the best I have. And so in the longer term, I need to make sure I'm pacing life. I'm making those very hard decisions about what ought to be in my life and what ought not to be in my life. And sometimes with time management, it's what you say no to is as important as what you say yes to. Because you have to keep your reserves. You only have so many emotional reserves. Your body only has so much physical energy. And you can only go so long without getting enough sleep every night or without getting some exercise and without making sure you're sharp. And so this becomes hard work. This becomes hard work. So I've been to the Y twice this week already. No, between last Saturday and today. Between Monday and today. And, you know, Sandy had the little talk with me. And she says it very nicely. But she said, because I got way out of, my life got out of control this summer. I was traveling every other week. And I'm still working through what I say yes to and what I say no to there. But she said to me gently the other day, she said, I've been praying that you can get some order in your life again and get some rhythm and routine. You know, I'd love to see you going back to the Y regularly again. And it wasn't scolding, it wasn't demeaning, but it was like, I have been praying. So, kind of, that's a subtle nudge to be the answer to somebody's prayers, right? And so I'm having to recalibrate there. I'm trying to just work out all of this because, you know, just Sandy and me, we're empty nesters now, but I want her to have the best, and I need to be monitoring energy, my energy. A lot of time management literature out there now really calls time management nothing more than energy management. Are you really putting your best energy into your top priorities? And I've just modified that a little bit because I think it starts here. Are you putting your best energies into your most important relationships? We can get so task-oriented. The kingdom of God is totally relational in nature. And it's your relationships that deserve your best attention. That's even why we do, like Pastor Anthony mentioned, we do restructure Wednesday nights, you know, so that you may be looking, it's 6:45 and we're just now starting our service. You may say, boy, these people aren't very prompt. I thought we started at 6:30. Because we just feel like even as a church family, we need to start putting more and more energy into relationships with each other. So I appreciate all of you. Do come at 6:30. Some of you, it's to drop your kids off. But you just make that effort to come because relationships are incredibly important. I mean, what are we without community? When Janie and I left Central when I became general secretary 10 years ago, we stayed away from the church while you were searching for a new pastor. And then Pastor Jeff very kindly invited us to come back to the church after he started. But that was like 14 months. That was a year and 2 months. So we were church homeless for that year and 2 months. And I found it was incredibly, incredibly unsatisfying to go. You know, I got to visit all my friends' churches in Springfield on Sunday, and that was fun. But you walk in, you consume a service, even if the worship was good and the preaching was good, I found it was strangely unsatisfying if that's all it was. If it was consuming a Sunday morning church service, but not knowing anybody, nobody who talked to you, you don't feel a part of a community. You have to feel a part of a community. This is the kingdom of God. It's not just Jesus, if you get Jesus, you got the body of Jesus. If you get Christ, you also have to have the body of Christ, right? That's the people of God. And so in recalibrating, you know, we do say, what can I adjust in my schedule? How can I keep my health up enough? How can I be getting enough sleep? How can I be putting boundaries around other things and saying no to the right things so that I do have the energy for relationships in my life? And that's pretty critical. Here's the second one. I'm going to go faster on these last two before we close. Put your best resources into your highest priorities. Put your best resources into your highest priorities. So if you're running a business, you know you have limited resources. That is fine. Some of those resources are capital. Some of those are personnel, employees. But you put your best resources into your highest priorities. And I want to, you know, you need, in the world we live in, you just need time to think. You just need time. Like they say, great CEOs always have what they call staring out the window time in their lives. It's not just constantly trying to keep up with emails, because that makes you terribly uncreative. But you've got to constantly thinking about what are the most important things I need to be doing. For many of us, that's our jobs, right? That's and that's how we manage a day at our jobs. And this is part of the battle. You say, here's my top priorities, and what resources do I have to bring to bear? What people on my team can align around that resource? What available time can I put into that resource? How can I do that? And so you manage your energy. For me, I have some priorities, you know, beyond being a husband and beyond being a friend to people. I have, you know, obviously I have work priorities. I pastor a church. Travel often and speak, so I have other priorities I need. So I need to figure out, remember, time management is largely energy management. I need to figure out, you know, when even the best time of a day is that I do certain kinds of tasks. And I used to be a night person when I was in college, and over the years, I'm more and more a morning person. And as I get older, I wake up earlier in the mornings and want to go to bed earlier at night. So I'm just deciding not to fight this thing because I have a feeling I'll lose that battle. So you know what? Now I'm putting more creative. I just know, like even today, I put off something till tomorrow morning to finalize because I just know I have much more energy, I'm much more creative, and I just can, it's easier for the clutter, in the mornings, it's easier for the clutter of the world to be gone. It seems like it's easier just to hear the voice of the Spirit earlier in the morning. And so I put those mission critical things in the morning that I just absolutely need to hear from God on. Because once I'm halfway through the day and I realize I got 10 more emails to respond to, and you get in that administrative mode and you're having meetings with people, I mean, that is also part of my role, and it's important. It's not the most important thing. So you say, how can I put my best resources into my top priorities and then give secondary resources to everything else? And this is why, if you're not fighting with your priorities so that then you can allocate your best resources there, you're probably just coasting and maybe not living up to your potential. Here's the third one. You got to put your best attitudes into your deepest disappointments. Your best attitudes into your deepest disappointments. Maybe some of us are walking into this fall with a lot of personal hurt in our lives. And I would challenge you not to be the victim of your pain. Part of what makes us free in Christ is that my values as a follower of Christ and the guidance of the Holy Spirit can determine what I do tomorrow in a way that my pain does not need to determine what I do tomorrow. My pain makes me want to react. I'm talking about emotional pain here. The pain of difficult times in your life. The pain of things that happened years ago, even in your marriage. You don't need to let the pain of past conflict determine your choices in the present. When you let your pain always determine your behavior, that's what we call being a victim. But you can, it's a wonderful thing when we start moving from letting our pain determine our behavior to letting our values determine our behavior. And there's something about always walking, always wrestling with these priorities. In fact, let's put the next thing up on this slide. Recalibration really, especially in the area of our pain, is the journey from I have to I choose to. And this means we go from obligations to values. It's not that I have to do something, it's I choose to. We go, and when you're just doing things because I have to, or I'm obligated to, You'll find that's a very depleting, that just kind of drains your energy. But when you start making decisions because you choose to, I'm going to be a good husband because my wife deserves a good husband, and I choose to the honor of Jesus to try to be the best husband I can be. And it's not like, I have to go home and share details and feelings. No, I choose to invest in my relationship in that way to the best that I can. And so you see, when I do things that I just feel obligated to do, I got to do this. When my life is full of ought-tos and have-tos and shoulds, that tends to deplete me emotionally at a motivational level. And I'm sure it does to you too. I just find that all the time. But when I try to shift from obligations to values, I find it's a much more energizing kind of a motivation. It just kind of re-energizes. I get to do this. A friend of mine said, who's in full-time ministry, he said, I was just kind of discouraged. I was crossing the street here in Springfield. I was just kind of going, all this stuff I have to do. He said, I got halfway across the street, and all of a sudden it hit me like that. What do you mean I have to do this? He said, I get to serve the King of Kings. I get to do this. And so you will find that things become more energizing in your life when you shift from obligations to values. And when it comes to that last of those three points of putting our best attitudes into our deepest disappointments, here especially is where you need to fight to do that. Where you just say, I'm not going to let disappointments, I'm not going to let the way people have let me down, I'm not going to let emotional and relational pain, I'm not going to let that start determining what I do or don't do. This is part of the power of forgiveness. One person said, forgiveness is denying the power of your past from having dominion over your present. I want God's Spirit to have dominion over my present. I want my values to have dominion over my present, not my past. That's partly why we forgive one another, why we keep accounts short, why we just let go. And I want to challenge you not only to put your best energy into your top relationships and your best resources into your top priorities, but I want to encourage you, if you're dragging pain into this fall, maybe recalibration is saying there is a degree to which I'm not going to let that pain make my decisions for me moving forward anymore. But I'm going to let my values make my decisions for me. And it's more just living in the realm of what others have done for me or how others have let me down or I didn't get the job I thought I'd get. I mean, life gets full of these disappointments, and they just beat us down and deplete us and make us their victims. But God helps us by the power of His Spirit to put new attitudes into our deepest disappointment. And it's a fight, and you don't emotionally feel like you want to do it. But I just want to encourage you as you recalibrate this fall to also face, just pray through the things that are just causing you a lot of disappointment right now. What's the root of that disappointment? Who is it that let you down? And why might they have done that? But then to surrender those things to the Lord and say, God, by your grace, you who said in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Lord, for you who said, He said, when you stand before me, if you have anything against anybody, forgive them so your Father will in heaven will forgive your sin. I mean, whatever it takes, Lord, for me to deal with pain and disappointment in a way that won't bog me down, but in the way that will allow me to recalibrate and be free enough to walk into my future. This is part of the art of walking with Jesus. And you know, John Maxwell used to say, your attitude will determine your altitude, right? Your attitude will determine your altitude. Attitude is one thing you can choose. You can't make people not disappoint you, but you can choose how you're going to respond to those things. So those three things I just wanted to put in front of you tonight. As we recalibrate, let's look at putting our best energies into our most important relationships. And let's be doing whatever it takes to be recalibrating our resources, to reallocate our resources to those things that are most important. Make sure you're putting your best resources into your top priorities, not giving your top priorities the leftover resources of your life. And then let's be sure to put our best attitudes into our deepest disappointments. Because Jesus went to a cross. That means he knows how to walk through with you all those disappointments and to go up and to take you to a higher level in the name of Jesus. Amen. Will you stand with me, please?